Welcome, Teach from the Heart members. This is your May members only audio content. I'm so happy to be with you this month to continue the journey together. And right now, where I reside in Chicago, Illinois, we are on the cusp of the spring season. I know that is not true for all of our members as they reside around the world, but what I love about this season is the many metaphorical lessons that it brings along with it. And I once was listening to a spiritual teacher named Tara Brach, who some of you may be familiar with. If you're not, you should look her up. She has a beautiful podcast and such gorgeous downloadable meditations that are just wonderful for cultivating loving kindness and a mindset of true radical self-compassion. And in any case, Tara introduced me to the old Buddhist saying that said, "No mud, no lotus." The process behind this tenet, as it were, is to recognize that if we don't stay with the muddy parts, we don't stay with the tough parts of the process, then we might, in fact, exclude ourselves from ever seeing the beauty that comes from the difficulty of our process, our fears, in some cases, our suffering. And oftentimes when I'm introduced to a particularly powerful or necessary lesson, I run away from it as fast as I can. So it took me a little while to get on board with this one, because usually when we run away from the lessons that are facing us and scaring us in certain cases, those ones are usually the lessons we need to learn the most. And so certainly I've had experience with understanding the many ways in which the mud can feel heavy, stuck, sticky, uncertain, uncomfortable. And thankfully, I've been able to witness the beauty that comes from sticking with the discomfort in many cases. And I'm here this month to remind us all that from the discomfort comes a heightened sense of empowerment, a way and a means of seeing our visions and our missions and our purposes in this work come to life. And finally, bringing depth into what it is we're here to do. Because after all, if it was just to show up, do the thing, and go home, I don't think any of you would be here in the first place. But also, I think that we all understand that in some way, shape, or form, we are impacting the world for better. And that ability to create impact, to help it come to life, especially when we're talking about doing work that involves other human beings. This ability to create impact requires that we understand what it's like to be uncomfortable. We understand what it's like to not be able to fully execute a movement. We know what it's like to not have the words that we're searching for when we're teaching a class. We know what it's like to not be able to set strong, appropriate boundaries, or to even find clarity surrounding our vision for the next step in our work. And recently, I shared a quote online that was particularly impactful for me in this process of experiencing discomfort. And it comes from an educator named John Loughran. And the quote says, "I argue that discomfort is an important attribute for learning, especially so with respect to learning about teaching, as it leads to a heightening of the senses." When I read that quote, and I had to read it over a few times, I realized this line of text has the potential to reframe all of my uncomfortable feelings into get-tos rather than have-tos, into ideas that I get to be in the process of discomfort. And in that process, I am heightening the senses that I need to in turn help my students. I am heightening the senses I need to speak from a place of honesty and vulnerability when it comes to movement, teaching, business, life, whatever it is. I'm heightening my senses. I'm honing in my instrument. My instrument happens to be who I am. And in many ways for you too, it is also who you are. It's that true element of self. So this month, I want to bring forward the concept that the struggles that we're going through are actually an aspect, an opportunity that we have to heighten our senses to become better in our roles as movement teachers. I know that might not sit so well with all of you at the beginning, especially if you're experiencing a severe amount of discomfort at the moment, but I'll urge you to hold strong to that sentiment. And much like last month's mantra, when we spoke about the idea of, oh, this is what comes with it. In this month, I'd like you to start to cultivate a reframe. When you're in that level of discomfort, and it's not suffering per se, it's not something that you don't have a choice over. You just understand that it's what comes with it. It's part of the process. It's something you have to go through to get to the other side, but it's not dangerous and it's not abusive. It's that part of the work of your work that's helping to build you up. When you're in that uncomfortable space, I want you to remember that this experience is helping you to heighten your senses for the future. It's actually giving you tools from which to draw from so that you will be able to help other people at another new, authentically grounded level. That makes me pretty excited. I hope it does the same for you. And it segues so beautifully right into this month's affirmation, which is truly an affirmation. And I will urge you to post this someplace that you can see every day so you can repeat it to yourself and see what kind of space you're able to open up each day for your discoveries. The affirmation is, I am willing to explore my identity as a teacher and allow my true self to shine. I am willing to explore my identity as a teacher and allow my true self to shine. Kind of a big one. Who am I? Who am I and what am I here for? What even is my true self? And some of you who have been teaching for only a few years might think like, oh, I don't even know how the two fit in together because I'm still trying to figure out what spring setting is appropriate for the stomach massage. I just heard all of you mentally answer that question in your head, by the way. So I'm going to offer you a little lesson for those of you who might be questioning, where does my true self fit into the scheme of things? Where is there space for it? And this lesson comes in the form of a pyramid of expert mastery skills. I will argue that Pilates is a skill set. The ability to teach is a skill, but the act of teaching and imparting knowledge and motivating and really understanding what the next steps are for your client to help them gain more awareness and more autonomy and more strength and flexibility and even some abs in the process, all of that comes more from the spark that's inside of you and more from the spark of your true self who has gone through some mud to get to the other side. And so this pyramid comes into play because it helps us break down our ego's need to keep us playing small, like, I've only been teaching for a year, therefore my true self doesn't have a space to step in. Or I've been teaching someone else's work for 20 years and I don't know how to even begin to think about inserting more of my true self, shining it forward. So our ego voice in our head, our ego mind says, stay small. It's safer to stay small. If you put your true self out there, you're gonna get burned. How familiar is that to any of you in the world? I know it sure was for me. But in the act of playing small and staying safe and protected, what we're actually doing is we're dimming our own light, our own true self. We're not letting that true self sing, shine, show up. And when we hang on to this belief, it breeds a sense of disconnection between showing up to our role as teacher with every aspect of ourselves, which in turn allows us to share, connect, set really great boundaries, and also know when a relationship is not serving us. So that true self aspect is very important. And when we don't allow it to show up, then we can sometimes feel like we're a foot soldier for the method we teach, or the studio we teach in, or the school we teach under, or the community, or the profession at large, and it can feel like a bit of a letdown. Is this all it was? And I know far too many teachers out in the world who have been doing the thing of teaching according to the numbers or the steps that were set up by someone else. And they get to a certain point in the process and they say, something's missing, but I don't know what it is. And I'm going to tell you, it's you. It's you. It's you in the way you prepare. It's you in the way you show up. It's the you in the way you emote, the way you communicate, the way you impart, the way you connect, the way you take care of yourself after, the way you shut down at the end of the day. It's all you. And you can be a benevolent taskmaster and know every aspect of every movement that you teach, from anatomy to equipment settings to ramifications to processes to structures, whatever it is, you can know it all. And you can still come out feeling unfulfilled if you don't impart some level of yourself into those lessons. So what I'd like to share with you is this idea that there is a pyramid that gives you permission and throughout your journey, as well as some encouragement to what's expected at each stage of the game. And you'll decide where you fit into this pyramid, or maybe you'll make a pyramid up of your own. But at the base layer, the widest layer of this pyramid, is the student layer. So this is where teachers are simply partaking in the practice, let's say, of Pilates, going to classes, learning what they'll learn within the hour, loving their experience, and they're taking it in on the student level. They can have a more intelligent conversation to anybody who they speak to about Pilates than maybe somebody who doesn't know much about the subject, because they've experienced it, and they are also picking up some of the vocab and maybe even some of the history along the way. This is the largest layer. It's usually where we all start out, of course, with a few exceptions. Now, the layer above that is the apprentice layer. So this signifies the space, perhaps, where you've gotten into your teacher training and you're starting to learn all the nuts and bolts of all of the many, many applications of the Pilates work. You're in a teacher training program. You are studying this work ad nauseum. You're just eating it up, and you're working towards the end goal of then becoming a teacher. You can speak more effectively about Pilates than maybe a student can. But you haven't yet had the experience maybe in the studio as a professional who is teaching a number of sessions to a number of different bodies with a number of different conditions and situations. That's your apprentice level. The next level up is called the specialist. The specialist is the graduated teacher, the person who's getting some time under his or her belt. They are really diving deep into the work they teach. They're learning lessons that can't be taught in the classroom, that are only experienced interpersonally with clients, with other colleagues. They're starting to make some decisions about things that they like and that they don't like, and moving their work in certain directions that they feel is going to be supportive of them. They can certainly have a more detailed and heightened conversation than that of the apprentice or the student. In fact, they may be even teaching one or both of those people at this time. That's the specialist. Now we move up to the top points of the pyramid of expertise. And the next layer up is the expert. I love Malcolm Gladwell's formula, which says that you need at least 10,000 hours of any practice, of any skill set, to be considered an expert. And generally speaking, that's about 5 years. So one can be in the specialist realm and be quite happy and quite successful for the first 5 years of their teaching. And after that time, they're considered to have a level of expertise in their field. One can also hang out in the expert level for the rest of their career if they so choose. And what I find is a lot of professionals, especially in the Pilates world, are very happy being in the expert layer. Many of these teachers also refer to themselves as master teachers because they've been experts for so long. What I want to offer to you, however, is that the level above expert that is referred to as master by definition of this pyramid, not by definition of me, It refers to a level where you're transcending the book. You're now creating your own philosophy. You've understood a certain number of elements of your practice to be true, and you also have found that there are questions among some of the other elements that you have found alternate answers for. You're starting to express yourself. You're using your journey as a support system for creating a heightened awareness of the work that you teach. You're starting to develop new avenues for people to experience as extensions of the work that you teach, whether it's educational courses, pieces of equipment, retreats, books, blogs, videos, whatever it is, you are now expanding on that layer of expert to make your mark. Now, this is referential of someone who has embraced and is now putting their true self on the pedestal at the top of the pyramid. But mastery is not where the pyramid stops. In fact, I would argue that there's a level of mastery that's accessible in the student level, the apprentice, the specialist, and the expert. I would argue that that level of mastery is the stuff that brings you to the next level of your work. I would argue that that level of mastery allows you to transcend the pyramid model altogether and create a whole new shape to work through. And what's interesting about this model for expert mastery skills is that once you hit, as it were, the top level, the top triangle of the pyramid, the whole darn thing starts over again. And now you go into a realm of master student, of whatever it is you're studying at that moment. And master apprentice, and master specialist, and master expert, and then master, and then the whole darn thing starts over again. Because if we know anything as movement teachers, is that this process is going to be cyclical and ongoing. Infinite, even. So the point I want to make by introducing this model for you is to recognize that there is space for everyone at every level, and there's also space to infuse yourself into every level. Each layer is going to look a little different for you. And the reason why this is so important for us to understand is because sometimes we think that infusing our true self into the act of teaching means that we have to change everything, or that we have to grandstand, or have a personality type that's of a specific origin or preference, or that we have to really be vulnerable more than we'd like to be, or stop teaching the way we like to teach right now. And I want to remind you that this mastery idea, this expert idea, has a bit more to do with your skill set than it actually does with who you are. The who you are aspect is going to animate wherever you are on your pathway towards learning more about what you do. So some questions that are really, really useful for me, which are going to continue to show up in all ways, shapes, and forms through this membership, are: what would be helpful right now, especially if I'm suffering from a moment of insecurity? Another question that I constantly ask myself is, what do I need in order to feel supported in this endeavor? And that could be for an hour of teaching, a full day of teaching, a transition from the studio to the home, a weekend of teaching in another land, who knows? What would be most supportive for what I have to do right now? And I take this relationship with self so seriously because I know that when I support myself, I show up to my sessions like a dynamo, on fire, and with space for others. True self is not indicative of your ego running the show, of needing to have it all right, or being a boisterous performer at the front of a classroom. True self is about grounding in your own particular needs so that you can allow your gifts to come forward and you can reach your clients on a deeper level of consideration because you've taken care of yourself in the process. In this month's bonus material, I'm going to be dropping in a particular meditation to help you determine some of the needs that you have, some of the support systems that you can continue to build on. But I'll also ask you to use the affirmation, the mantra, as a tool. Remember to affirm that you are willing to explore your identity as a teacher and allow your true self to shine at whatever layer comes through that day, without judgment. I am willing to explore my identity as a teacher and allow my true self to shine. We should probably add without judgment to that affirmation. I don't know if it would fit on the graphic, but we'll remember as a group that pretty much every sentence, every affirmation that we say is comma without judgment. So use that. Also remember that when you're in times of discomfort, it is your opportunity to hone your senses, to heighten your senses, to gain tools, to get ready for the next step. So I, for one, am very excited about where we're headed in our group and as a profession. I believe that those members in this group are trailblazers. I believe the many ways in which we're creating impact in the world are going to be the definitive change of how movement is viewed in the future. It's not an obligation, but an opportunity. And I believe that you all have everything you need to rise up through the mud and recognize the beauty that you hold. And I'm going to be here for you every step of the way. Continue to check in our Facebook forum. You're doing beautiful work. Check out the writing assignment for this month where we expand on these lessons. I can't wait to see your discoveries. And just remember that you're doing a wonderful job, but you'll get through it with heightened senses, the ability to let your true self show up through your teaching in a way that serves your clients. And maybe even the world. Remember to take good care of yourself and each other. And I'll see you next month for June's content.